From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Today on Register Radio, Tim Drake talks with National Catholic Register's new editor-in-chief, Jeanette DeMello, about her new role and her plans for the newspaper. And in our second segment, Tim talks with Register correspondent Wayne Laugesen about the controversy surrounding Chick-fil-A and the results of the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior writer for the Register. Hello, Tim.
It's good to be with you, Tom. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Great to be back on. You know, following EWTN's acquisition of the Register, the paper continues to grow and improve. Certainly, a growth in circulation for any newspaper is a rarity in 2012. And now the Register is pleased to welcome its new editor-in-chief, who we're glad to have with us today, Tim.
That's right, Tom. Jeanette DeMello comes to the National Catholic Register from the Archdiocese of Denver. There, Jeanette served as Director of Communications for the Archdiocese and General Manager of the Denver Catholic Register. She's recently married, and she's been editor-in-chief for the past 2 months. She started officially on June 18th. Jeanette, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today on Register Radio.
Sure, it's great to be here this morning.
So my first question is, when you were young, did you always want to work in journalism? Was that a dream of yours, Jeanette?
You know, that's a great question. I would say that working in journalism was probably my first love in the world of communications. I started off for a small community newspaper in a small town in Louisiana, and then I worked for a Catholic monthly newspaper. And I feel like I'm going back to my roots now that I'm working for the National Catholic Register.
And so tell us a little bit about some of the things, in addition to that, that you did prior to coming to the Register.
Well, as you mentioned, I worked for the Archdiocese of Denver. I worked there for nearly 7 years, and most of that time was under Archbishop Chaput. I worked very closely with him. I was a member of his senior staff. I was his spokesperson and a media advisor. In that job, I, as you mentioned, was the general manager of the newspaper and also oversaw the website from a general operations point of view. Lots of interaction with the parish life and the pastors and just really helping them with their communications efforts. It was 7 years of very good work, so it's quite a change now. Of course, Archbishop Chaput was the first to leave. He left last September, and after that, the pace of my life slowed down a bit. So that's what I've been doing the last 7 years. Before that, I worked for the Archdiocese of New Orleans, also in the communications department. So it's been almost 10 years in archdiocesan communications life.
I mean, I know our listeners will want to hear, what was it like working with Archbishop Chaput?
He's an excellent leader. He's very pastoral. When you talk to him about your life and about your living of the faith or questions about the faith, he's so pastoral. He became like a father to me, even though he was my boss. But as an administrator, he's a tough administrator in a sense. He gets the job done, always with care, but definitely has a drive about him. And I at first had to run to keep up, but once you catch his pace, you really enjoy the pace, and at least I did. I miss him a lot. I know he'll do great work in Philly. He's got quite a challenge there, but I'm sure he'll bring a lot of wisdom and life there.
And what possessed you to make the move to the National Catholic Register? Our listeners may not realize, but there is, of course, an intimate connection between the Denver Catholic Register and the National Catholic Register, the National Catholic Register, of course, being an outgrowth of the Denver Catholic Register. So what possessed you to make the move?
Actually, the Register had approached me before Archbishop Chaput left, and we had begun a conversation, and I said at that time, I like where I am. I like working with Archbishop, and so I said, I don't think I'm so interested right now. And after Archbishop left and I had that time to think, I guess it was last December, that's when I actually said, okay, is this an opportunity? And started to talk with Dan Burke and Michael Warsaw just to try to understand the job a little bit more. the same month I ended up getting engaged. So I was welcoming a lot of change at once, and just felt the Holy Spirit's guidance. As I said, communications, in the world of communications, journalism was my first love. So it was really, I guess, a quickening in my heart to go back to writing and going back to a world of journalism. So I feel like I made the right move, and I'm looking forward to what's to come.
You are listening to Register Radio. I am Tim Drake, and we're speaking with Jeanette DeMello, who is editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register. Jeanette, you've been in your position for nearly 2 months, and just curious, you know, what it's been like so far. Have there been any surprises?
Well, it's been a quick 2 months. I got married in June, and I started later in June, so these have been some crazy months of transition. It all still feels very, very new. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I guess one of the challenges is that our staff is all over the country. It's hard to get to know someone as if they were right next door. You know, I miss that aspect of working at the Archdiocese where my staff was just in the next room. At the same time, I'm very impressed by the staff's energy, their passion, the harmony with which they work. That's very impressive to me. I've also been very impressed by the staff's spirituality. And I can see that it's a group that prays and that their work is the fruit of a life of faith and action. So I really appreciate that about the Register's editorial staff and the whole staff, really. And I guess one of the biggest surprises was I expected to be entering a job with a little bit of a slower pace, and so far that has not been the case. The daily news cycle is a very fast-paced cycle, and I guess, you know, because I'm in transition, it even feels faster paced. But that's been one thing that did surprise me a little, as I thought I was going to slow down some, and that hasn't happened yet.
And so as you look at the Register and the future of the Register, are there any plans you have for either the Register's online presence or the print version?
You know, that's a very good question. It's still a little early for me to say what might change in both the print and online. I do know that there are some small improvements to the website that will happen soon. I've been a part of those conversations. I was not the driver of those conversations. They started before I arrived. But that should happen soon, and we'll see some just improvements graphically on the website and functionally as well, distinguishing news from opinion a little bit more on the web. I think right now my efforts are to continue to learn how the editorial team has been making decisions and how I might be able to just increase our coverage. I'd love to see more investigative stories and in-depth pieces. We'll also try to use wire service. We've been using Catholic News Agency. I'd like to use them a little more for daily news so that we can focus on in-depth news and analysis. But I can't say that I have any big changes planned very soon.
Sure.
I'm learning the ropes. I don't want to fix what isn't broken. And my first objective is an internal objective, to know the staff well so that we can move with the maximum amount of synergy amongst us.
One of the things that is very exciting for the Register is circulation, and an indicator of how a newspaper is doing, one indicator anyways, is circulation. And last week we learned that our numbers continue to climb. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, last week we had a staff meeting, and Dan Burke and our marketing director, Brian Horvath, gave us an update on print subscription. And they've grown this year, which is excellent news. We're up in our print circulation to about 30,000 households. And a year and a half ago, our circulation was only 22,000. So that's a pretty good growth, and I think it really challenges what we see in the rest of the print market, which is declining. So I'm very grateful that our readers have shown us that they value the print product, and I hope and I'm sure it will continue. The digital products are also doing very well. We have about 625,000 visits to our website every month. And over the last 12 months, we've had 7.5 million visits. So that's a great readership online. And, of course, this is probably our fastest growing area over the last several years. And I think, you know, that for sure also will continue. We've been sending email updates daily. I think in the course of a week, we send about 100,000 emails to our readers, and these are emails that they've signed up for. So they're very interested in getting up-to-date news and perspective from us, and we're very grateful for that inclination that they have to get news more immediately. So we keep wanting to feed the news cycle and feed our readers the way they'd like to be fed. So we're very grateful for our readers and for our growth, and I hope to see it continue. I'm sure it will.
I'm curious, Jeanette, as a Catholic newspaper, you know, how do you see what we do as both similar and yet different from what our secular counterparts are doing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tim. I think our mission as a Catholic newspaper is to share a Catholic perspective on what's going on in the world around us. And every newspaper, every news outlet has a perspective. Every news outlet sees the world through a certain lens. But not every news outlet is transparent in naming their lens or their perspective. And a Catholic newspaper does name it. The word Catholic in our name identifies the lens by which we communicate the news, the way we see the world. Our mission is to make our readers more engaged in their faith and in their relationship with the church, and hopefully equipping them to be able to bring their faith into the public sphere more effectively. That's who we are. If we started to veer from giving the Catholic perspective, I don't think we'd be doing our jobs. Like I said, not every newspaper, not every outlet actually names how they see the world. So I think with us, you know what you're going to get, and I think people really appreciate that. We hope to see a Catholic newspaper a part of a daily news diet. I think sometimes that doesn't happen. You know, people don't actually think of catching up on Catholic news as a daily activity, but we hope that is what people would do, that we'd be a part of their daily activity.
And we just have about a minute left, and so the last thing I wanted to ask is, how does a newspaper like the National Catholic Register in the Internet age balance paid-for content in the print edition versus free content online? Has the Register found a way to make that work?
I wish we had. I'm not sure that we have. I'm not sure any newspaper has. You know, I've been watching this for a while to try to understand where the trends are. And at first, a lot of newspapers began using a paywall where you had to pay for some news content online. And then they got away from it. Everyone pretty much got away from the paywall and just started offering the free content. And now you see the paywall going up again. So that you have to pay for at least some of the content. The Register hasn't started doing that, but you would see it on the Wall Street Journal or New York Times. You have to pay for a full read of their news content. We have no plans to go that direction as far as I know right now, but it is where the news industry, at least the major newspapers, are going again. So perhaps there's something there. Right now, we enjoy being able to offer the news online for free. Now most of our news is there. I think our biggest point is to stay afloat, stay stable financially, and we do that in a mix of ways, a healthy mix of paid subscriptions, paid advertisement, both in print and on the web, and, of course, from donations from our readers. And I'm grateful for each of these groups of supporters. We need every aspect of our business model is so important, especially people who are subscribing and donating. They're helping us make the news possible, and they keep our mission strong. So right now I don't see any changes. I wish I knew the best answer, but sure. I do know that what we're doing right now is working, so I'm grateful for that.
Well, Jeanette, I just want to say welcome aboard. We are very happy to have you as part of the Register, and thanks for being with us this thanks for being with us on Register Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tim. It's been great to be here, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
My thanks as well, Jeanette. When we return, we'll talk about family values and chicken. I think you know where we're going on that. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other. In our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Tim Drake, I'm Tom Price. Tim, for the past few weeks, a lot of people have been talking about the head of Chick-fil-A, the controversy over family values, and the outpouring of support for that company. And now that things have settled down a little bit, we're glad to bring on the Register's Wayne Laugesen to recap exactly what this was all about.
That's right, Tom. On August 1st, hundreds of thousands of customers showed up at Chick-fil-A restaurants across the country in honor of Mike Huckabee's Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And that was in response to the backlash that the corporation received following the CEO's comments supporting marriage between a man and a woman. A Register correspondent, Wayne Laugesen, covered the controversy and the aftermath, and he's joining us today on Register Radio to talk about it. Wayne, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, just to set the stage, what was it that Executive Dan Cathy originally said that so outraged some people?
Well, this all kind of started back in early July when some pro-homosexual publications were talking about the donations that he had made, and then a little bit later, about a week later, he was interviewed by Biblical Reporter editor Alan Bloom, and then that was reprinted by the Baptist Press. And what he said was, "We are very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. We are a family-owned business, and we are married to our first wives. We give God thanks for that." That is the controversial statement that really got all of this going.
Doesn't seem all that controversial.
No. He said nothing that was anti-gay or even anti-homosexual marriage or anything of the sort. It was all strictly support for traditional families, traditional marriages. And what's really disturbing is that some of what led up to this, to where there was sort of the groundwork laid for people to have a hysterical reaction to this, were the donations that he made to what the Huffington Post called hate groups. The hate groups are Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Windshape Foundation, which was started by Kathy's parents some time ago, and its mission is to shape winners. The Family Research Council, which has the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom, and Exodus International. Part of its mission statement says, "We do believe that any sexual expression outside of a monogamous marriage between one man and one woman falls outside of God's creative intent for human sexual expression and is sinful." Then it goes on to say, "Homosexuality is no greater or less a sin than any other and is not the determining factor for a relationship with Jesus Christ." This is a hate group, according to the Huffington Post.
Now, and I know that the controversy kind of took on a life of its own because some municipal leaders decided that Chick-fil-A was not welcome to build stores in their locations. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. First, you had the mayor of Boston, Thomas Menino, who said that Chick-fil-A was not welcome in his city. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel followed up with very similar comments. An alderman in Chicago even suggested that they block Chick-fil-A from coming in, using the city powers to prevent them from doing business in Chicago, which is clearly illegal. They can't do that. Then that was followed by San Francisco Mayor Edwin M. Lee wanting to get in on the bandwagon and denounce Chick-fil-A and make sure they felt unwelcome in his city.
It's flabbergasting, really, but I know Cardinal George had an excellent two-part response to Rahm Emanuel's comment, and he said, I'm going to quote, he said, "I was born and raised here, and my understanding of being a Chicagoan never included submitting my value system to the government for approval. Must those whose personal values do not conform to those of the government of the day move from the city?" Thought it was just a great point made by Cardinal George.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And another thing he said is, recent comments by those who administer our city seem to assume that the city government can decide for everyone what are the values that must be held by citizens of Chicago. They've characterized Kathy as saying something against homosexuals, which he did not do. They've criticized him for donating to Christian organizations, characterizing them as anti-homosexual hate groups, which is not the case. None of those groups would fall into that category by any stretch of the imagination. Yet, he's not supposed to express himself in that way. Yet, big city mayors can tell their constituents what their values should be and who's welcome in the city and who's not based on what their values may be. Kind of ironic.
Yeah. I want to remind listeners you are listening to Register Radio. I am Tim Drake, and we are speaking with Wayne Laugesen, a correspondent with the National Catholic Register, about the Chick-fil-A controversy. Yeah, while the media decided to spin it in a particular way and make the debate about marriage, I mean, it's really kind of boiled down to our rights to freedom of speech, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, especially when you go as far as having an alderman in Chicago looking for ways to use process to block a man from doing business in his city based on that man's religious convictions and things that he has said, and things that he has said that have been deliberately distorted and twisted to mean something else, to deliberately try to block that person. And then these other, you know, the mayors themselves actually bullied, you know, they use sort of a bully pulpit to say, you're not welcome here. This is really disturbing. And Catholic League President Bill Donahue just was astonished. He said, I can't believe we've come to this point. And he and others who I spoke to, and I spoke to a lot of legal scholars, some who were Catholic, some who really had no dog in the hunt regarding homosexual marriage or same-sex marriage, whatever you want to call it, just can't believe that we are so quickly to the point where we have very powerful leading politicians telling people what they can and can't say and how they should think. That's not the First Amendment guarantees us a right to freely express almost anything, and certainly to practice our religious faith.
That's right. And the Appreciation Day on August 1st was an idea that Mike Huckabee came up with, correct?
That's correct.
Dan Burke, who is a frequent host on the show, actually went to Chick-fil-A down in Birmingham and talked to some of the customers on Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
Well, the national news media is showing these sorts of events with protesters around. Do you see any protesters?
I'm looking. I'm standing on my toes. I'm looking. I don't see anyone. No one.
What specifically motivates you to be here?
Well, this is America. We start up a business, we serve the public.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And so I got to stand up for this. For religious freedom. My goodness, if this was someone that was, say, a Muslim owner of Chick-fil-A, I don't care. Are they preaching, telling me how to live my life?
Yeah.
I might have a problem with that, but that's not what they do at Chick-fil-A. They're serving the public.
What's your name?
Max Kent.
Max, are you here tonight just to get food?
I'm here to support Chick-fil-A.
And why is that?
Well, I think that no matter what somebody's opinion is, they should be allowed to express it. Even if you don't agree with it, you should respect that in somebody.
Did most of the customers seem to fall in line with Max here?
Yeah, that was a pretty typical comment, what you just played. I went to three different Chick-fil-A's in Colorado just to talk to people, and I took some video of crowds were waiting. Enough people showed up that every Chick-fil-A I saw had lines of cars that caused traffic jams, you know, on the major streets in front of the stores. The waits were an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then people lining up just to walk in the door were wrapped around the buildings, you know, sometimes more than once. So, you know, the line would go around and then go around again. Nobody was angry with homosexuals or the whole, you know, they weren't protesting same-sex marriage. A lot of people there were really there in a spirit of defending the First Amendment and free speech and religious expression and the free exercise of religion. And it was a very, you know, it was a very mixed crowd of people of different faiths, and they all seemed to share this one idea that a man ought to be able to support traditional marriage in this country without this kind of a backlash. And this is, you know, furthermore, a man ought to be able to be against same-sex marriage without this kind of backlash. I mean, I talked to people, and these were the kind of sentiments that I was hearing. But Dan Cathy didn't even do that. He merely expressed his belief. I think people really had a sense of that, and it was just an enormous number of people from a great variety of backgrounds.
Well, Wayne, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on Register Radio and give us some of the background on the Chick-fil-A controversy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, Wayne. Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to ncregister.com. Just look for the picture of the microphone to listen or download the show. Thanks again for listening to Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.